Welcome to this episode of the Think Wildlife podcast. Today I speak to Dr. Nishit Dharia, who is the founder and director of the Wildlife Conservation Biology Research Foundation. As its name suggests, this NGO works extensively on the research of wildlife and in particular the mammals of Gujarat. Dr. Nishit Dharia is also the co-chair of the IUCN Slot Pair Expert Group. On this episode, we talk extensively on the conservation slot pairs and all the other great work which this NGO is a part of. I hope you enjoyed this episode and don't forget to subscribe and share.
Welcome to the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you on to talk about Asiatic lion slot pairs and your work at WCP Foundation.
Thank you, Anish.
So what is the idea behind the WCP Research Foundation?
Yeah. So Anish, I am working in the field of wildlife and conservation biology since a long time. And initially I was working in as a capacity of a researcher. Then I joined a university like North Gujarat University in Gujarat as an assistant professor, where I started my research lab. And in due course of time that I found that several species are unappreciated and understudied. And those species are not studied by the researcher, wildlife researchers, just because of there are no availability of funds or the fundings are not flowing towards these species because they are not a charismatic species like tigers and lions and rhino and elephant. So the first thought in my mind that I should start some organization or we should focus on those understudied species. So their conservation is very important because nothing is known. So if whenever in the field of wildlife, it is said that when you don't know anything about any wildlife, it is more dangerous because we will never know that when they are going to vanish. So this was the first objective of starting the WCP Research Foundation, that we can individually raise the fund for such wildlife species which are understudied, which are not which are unappreciated, and which are like lacking the funds for specific research. The second such objective is helping student and people. Like most of the wildlife research or most of the research are publishing in a good impact factor journals, like high impact factor journals. But these research are never reached to the local community who are actually living with the wildlife. So like we thought to convert this research scientific knowledge into the local language, into the local knowledge, and reach to the local community so they can actually benefit with them. My third objective for initiating WCP Research Foundation is capacity building of young researchers, because there are several students, there are several researchers who are enthusiastic and fascinated for doing wildlife research, but they are not getting the proper training, they are not getting proper opportunity and platform. So like WCP Research Foundation is providing a platform to such students who would like to build their career in the field of wildlife and conservation biology and to initiate a community of practice, to formulate a community of practice where all like-minded people can work together for wildlife conservation.
So you have worked extensively on slot pairs in the last couple of decades. What got you interested in studying slot pairs?
Yeah, this is again a very good question. Like this question is raised by several people while they are meeting me, because I did my PhD on Asiatic lion. I work on the leopard also, but then I shifted towards the sloth bear. The first reason is that only that sloth bears are understudied that time when I started in 2006, 2007, when I started taking interest in studying the sloth bear. Very few research has been carried out on sloth bear. Its number of sloth bear attacks on people was raising year by year, and sloth bears are not appreciated by several communities, not appreciated, and funds for sloth bear research was also not available. And this species is endemic to Indian subcontinent only. So they are found in India, Sri Lanka, and Nepal. And 90% of the global population of sloth bear is in India only. And if we don't do anything from India as an Indian citizen or as an Indian scientist, then It is possible that world will never know many things about sloth bear, and that is why I have started research on sloth bear.
So, what are the main threats to sloth bears in India?
Yeah, as I said, that sloth bear population is like more than 85-90% of the sloth bear population, global sloth bear population is in India, but the remaining habitat for sloth bear is getting fragmented. So habitat fragmentation and degradation is the most important issue towards the sloth bear conservation. Second such issue is unappreciation. Like, people mostly don't like sloth bear because of the human sloth bear conflicts. Sloth bear attacks are very dangerous. They are deadly. Sloth bear attacks, after the attacks, the injuries are like prominent, and people mostly don't appreciate the sloth bear, and that is why sometimes retaliatory killings are also happen. So human sloth bear conflicts, habitat degradation, these are the main threats to the sloth bear in India.
What is driving human sloth bear conflict in India, and what are some solutions to sloth bear human conflict?
Yeah, this is a wonderful question, Anis. Again, I would say, human sloth bear conflicts are mostly the confrontation, like accidental confrontation. Conflicts between human and wildlife can be categorized into three different categories. The first category is the accidental conflict, confrontation, or the accidental conflicts. Second is the deliberated conflicts or deliberated attacks by the wildlife. And the third such is a defensive attacks. So most of the sloth bear attacks are the defensive and accidental. When the sloth bear and human confront accidentally, mostly the sloth bear attack on the human, or in a defensive attacks when the female is carrying cubs. At that particular time, females are like behaving much defensive and aggressive, and it attacks on the people. So these are the driving forces. The main reason for the accidental confrontation is most of the resources, like food resources of sloth bear, are shared with the human. Like, sloth bear feed on the fruits, sloth bear feed on honey, sloth bear feed on the mahua flowers, and these things are collected by the human for their livelihood and for their own use. So the local people are mostly going in the forest during the dawn and dusk, which is the same time when the sloth bear also come out for food and water, and the accidental confrontation happens. So these are the driving forces by which the human and sloth bear confronts, and the attacks happens. And the solution is, we cannot go and explain the sloth bear, but we can certainly go and explain the people. So the community outreach, education and awareness about sloth bear behavior, awareness about movement of the sloth bear in the area. So those things, if we reach to the local community, and if we explain them about this, then we can definitely, certainly we can reduce the number of sloth bear attacks in entire sloth bear range. Secondly, sloth bears are found mostly in the dry deciduous forest of India, which are dry up during the summer, and the water is very scarce in the forest area. So sloth bear mainly come out in the villages for in search of water. So if we can make those water available throughout the year within the forest area, again the sloth bear movements towards the villages will reduce, and that will help to minimize the human sloth bear conflicts.
You also authored the Bear Conservation Action Plan for Gujarat. Can you elaborate a bit about this?
Yeah, so like we authored, I and the Chief Wildlife Warden of Gujarat, we co-authored the Sloth Bear Conservation Action Plan for Gujarat in 2012. And that was for 5 years, so 2012 to 2018. But after that, in 2019, 2020, the Government of India has taken the initiative, Ministry of Environment, Forest and Climate Change, Government of India, they've taken an initiative to develop a standard operating guidelines, SOP, for human wildlife conflict. And again, for the human wildlife conflict, I co-authored the standard operating guidelines that what the people should do when sloth bear attacks happen, what the forest department should do, what are the function of the line departments when the sloth bear comes into the villages and the chaos starts. So this is all that we authored in the latest human bear conflict guidelines. And in the sloth bear conservation action plan that was prepared on a national scale, like every state has been given the conservation action plan. And in that conservation action plan, we have identified the key threats and key issues for the bear conservation. And then we have addressed every threats and every issues and how to cope up with those issues. So in Gujarat, we have given focus on four different things. The first thing is the connecting the fragmented habitat. Like the fragment habitat is fragmented, so that connecting these habitat was the first first thing that we have addressed. Second thing we addressed about the monitoring of the sloth bear movement in the unprotected area, like the areas which are not protected as wildlife sanctuaries and national park. Sloth bear are also found in those non-protected areas. So second such focus has been given on the monitoring of sloth bear movement in these areas. And third is to reduce the sloth bear conflict through community outreach and education. So these are the main three important focus that we have given on the sloth bear conservation action plan.
Talk about WCB sloth bear conservation project.
Yeah, so like WCB is working on several different projects leading to wildlife and conservation biology, but our featuring project is the sloth bear conservation through community outreach to address the human bear conflicts. And this project is supported by several agencies, including Gujarat Forest Department, who is the main partner of this project. Along with this, the Serenity Trust of Ahmedabad, they have supported the project at the national level. In the international level, we are supported technically by Bear Trust International, International Association for Bear Research and Management, one association from Europe called EGSA. Those associations are closely working with us and they are supporting us technically, financially, and they are also supplying the instruments and such other consumables for this project. Under this project, what we are doing, like we have prepared a documentary film on sloth bear. This is for 6 months, 6 minutes. Similarly, we have prepared an animation film on sloth bear for kids. And we are targeting the youngsters, mostly the people less than 30 years of age, and the people who are in the age group of 40 to 50 who are mainly going into the forest. So we go in every villages and we meet to the community. We arrange this, showing this film to the local community. We also go to the school where we show the animation film. Our volunteers give a talk on the sloth bear behavior and ecology. Then we have prepared several flyers and posters about do's and don'ts when they are going in the forest. So those things we have started. And that is known as our project Atmavat Sarvabhuteshu. So we are trying to show people or to tell people that we are also among them, and we should love sloth bear, and we should conserve the habitat of sloth bear, and we should increase the tolerance, and we should develop the essence of coexistence with the sloth bear. So that was the first phase of our sloth bear outreach education program. In the second phase that we have started since 2023, in this phase, we are more going towards the conservation action. So under this conservation action, we have developed a device to keep with the people. So that device is known as a ghanti kathi or ghungru kathi. So we have developed a stick which has a bell and which has also has a blunt ended arrows. So that will help people to stay awake in the sloth bear habitat, because the stick making a noise, so it will automatically alert the sloth bear and other wildlife. And if there is a sloth bear around or any other wildlife around, by listening this noise, they will change their way. And even though the confrontation happens, the blunt arrow on the stick can help the people to be safe by the slothware attack. So this device we have developed, and we have made the multiple copies of this device, multiple articles of this device, and we are distributing this device to the frontline forest staff who are going for the slothware monitoring. We are also distributing this to the forest dwellers and villagers, those who are going in the forest for the forest products collection. So this we are distributing free of cost to the community, that we have started. Similarly, we have also started the demonstration of the bear safety education. So like we are going into the villages, and our guys, our volunteers, they perform a skit, they perform a street play, they perform a mime, in which they show that if sloth bear attacks you, or if you confront the sloth bear, how you will be safe and how the sloth bear can also be safe. So this is we call as a conservation action project that we started from this year. And like 12th October was the World Sloth Bear Day. So we have started this conservation action project from last 12th October, and we have got very good appreciation from the Gujarat Forest Department. We have got very good partnership from other organizations to help this project.
Can you also talk about your doctoral research on the Asiatic lion?
Yeah, I would love to talk about this, because that has been done before years ago. So I worked mainly on the Asiatic lion, which are not living inside the Gir, because Gir forest has the area of 1412 kilometers square. And when I started working in Gir forest, there were only 300 and odd number of Asiatic lions living in the Gir. And that time also it was said that the area of Gir is like now getting shorter for the Asiatic lion. And because of that reason, most of the lion population, or quite a few lion population, has started showing the natural dispersal, and they are going outside the Gir. So I mainly worked on the migratory movement, the routes of lions, how they move from out of the Gir and where they go, and how they live over that area. So I worked into two forest patches, which is outside Gir. One is the Girnar forest, which is now declared as a sanctuary. But when I was working, it was not declared as a sanctuary. And the other is the coastal part of the Saurashtra coast, where the patches of Prosopis and Casuarina is there. And the lion has started moving. Initially, it was a floating population, and then they become permanent over those areas like of Verawal, Kodinar, Sutrapada. These are the area where lion population has started establishing their home ranges. So I worked on these area. I also studied the food and feeding ecology of lion in that area. So we can compare the food of lion within the Gir and the food of lion outside the Gir. And we can come with some sort of conclusion. And I identified the routes by which lions are going outside. So those routes we can secure, and the human-lion conflict can be prevented. So this was my main focus of my doctoral research on the Asian lion.
The WCB Research Foundation is also involved in biodiversity consultancy. What exactly is biodiversity consultancy, and what services are provided by your organization?
Yeah, so like as I said, that our organization is mainly, the main objective of our organization is the conservation and helping people of different sectors, maybe the corporate, maybe the school, maybe the local community. So under the consultancy service, it is main, as I said, that WCB Research Foundation is a non-profit organization, and we are not supported by any permanent grant from the government. We are not getting any permanent funds to survive. So the consultancy is a kind of the help to the foundation by which we can secure some fund, we can raise some fund. And that is why we have started this consultancy work. So biodiversity consultancy is mainly if any educational campus or if any industrial campus, they want to assess the biodiversity surround their in their surroundings, then our team will go and they will do the biodiversity assessment. And we do it every year, so they can also have a monitoring report, like what is happening with the biodiversity in their surrounding, and like how they are gaining or losing the species in their surroundings. We are also providing other services like Miyawaki plantation, normal gardening and plantation, and the green audit services. Like many industrial and educational campus, they have started the green audit. So like we have a team of expert, they do the green audit, they also measure the carbon footprinting, and we are providing the certificate about what is the carbon footprint or what is the green level or green belt in their area. So this is the main part of the consultancy service that we have started giving to the society.
So what are some of the other prominent projects being run by the WCP Foundation?
Yeah, so apart from the sloth bear, we are now more focusing on the genetics, conservation biology and microbiology project. We have recently initiated a project on sloth bear microbiology because it is not at all studied. Very few things are known about the sloth bear microbiology. So one of our research scientist, she is working on the sloth bear microbiology, and that work is also supported by Bears in Mind, an organization from Netherlands, in which we are going to study the sloth bear health and the factors which are affecting the sloth bear health. We are also going to study the normal and abnormal microflora which is there inside the sloth bear body. And we are going to study that how these microorganisms are helping in the nutritional status and the health status of the sloth bear. So this is one project which is we have started recently. We are also going to start a leopard project because we have the several information about leopard, but there is a need for the scientific, like someone can come and put together all data in a scientific way, so we can come up with the leopard movement in the inside and outside the forest. We are also working on the economic assessment of wetlands, several wetlands in the state, assessment of the wetland with respect to the migratory birds, because Gujarat has 4 Ramsar sites. Another project we have started is the economic importance and evaluation of sloth bear in the forest. So that project is also a very important project, and we are going to start by the next month. Along with that, we are going to start the habitat cleaning project, sloth bear habitat cleaning project, and developing the hydrological models in the sloth bear habitats, by which we can suggest forest department the areas where they can prepare the water accumulation points. So the rainwater can be accumulated at the several points, and that will remain available for sloth bear throughout the year or for a longer period of time of the year. So sloth bear cannot go outside in the forest, and sloth bear may not enter the villages, and we can restrict the sloth bear movements. So these kind of projects are going on, and we are planning through the WCB Research Foundation and the team of WCB.
So how can individuals contribute to the WCB Foundation?
This is very good question, very important. Like individuals can contribute and can help WCB Research Foundation in several ways. We have the student membership and the triennial membership, so they can become a member. If they don't want to member, they can also volunteer in our projects which are going on. We can certainly, people can donate, as our foundation is having the all certificates for the income tax saving. So people can make donations to the WCB Research Foundation. If some industries or corporate, they're interested, they can also share their CSR. They can also fund the WCB projects, specific projects or general projects. And some people can also help us in fundraising. They can just spread the word about our projects, and they can reach to the people who can be helpful to the foundation. So our main issue is raising funds for the conservation projects and wildlife. So people can definitely contribute through several ways, because even if you go through our website, we have wrote there that we don't need funds, but we need good people. So when good people will join the foundation, good people will contribute to the foundation, the fund will automatically flow within the foundation. And I invite everyone to contribute in different way. Like, people can join as a scientist, people can join as a member, students can join as a student member, and the individuals can help us through donations and fundraising to strengthen the WCB Research Foundation and to help all the ongoing projects of the foundation.
What are some of the biggest challenges you face at the WCB Foundation?
Yeah, the most important challenge is raising the fund. Because in India, fundraising for conservation project is very difficult. Like, we have to reach and we have to explain people in different ways. So this is one of the biggest challenge. Second challenge is like collaboration and working with the people. So when we are developing the collaboration with Forest Department, when we develop the collaboration with other organization, that is also challenging, that we have to give several justification. And actually, these are not challenges, but these are actually the good things that by which we can show the work of WCB, we can show the justification of WCB. But the main challenge is the raising the funds and reaching out to the people.
What has been your biggest learning from your conservation career?
Yeah, the biggest learning for the conservation, my conservation career is, like, there are several things still to do in India, because most of the Indian researcher, most of the Indian organization, most of the policy makers, they are still after the charismatic species. And there are several issues related to wildlife and conservation are unsolved. There are several things which is understudied. There are several species there in are understudied. And most of the research which has been carried out by the big organization, most of the research carried out by the big scientists, these research is not reaching to the ground level. So now there is a need to bring this research work at the ground level, so the people can know that what is happening around them, what are the threats to the species in their surrounding, and we can get the contribution, we can get the partnership from the community. And when the community partnership is there for any conservation work, then the conservation work will be absolutely successful. I'm sure that the conservation work would be more successful than people are doing some work individually.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Anish, and thank you very much for this opportunity.